Welcome to the KICC Malawi podcast. Our prayer is that this message will speak to your heart.
So we are continuing our teaching. I thank God that He made me a teacher.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, I enjoy teaching because teaching equips you.
Amen.
It prepares you for all seasons. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we've been talking about being strong in the grace,
yes,
which is in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We defined what grace is. We said it's getting what we do not deserve and not getting what we deserve.
Amen.
So it has two parts, the getting part and the not getting part. But the major one is deserve. You're getting something which you do not deserve, but you're also not getting what you don't, what you deserve, actually. Praise God.
Amen.
So we are moving on. Today, we'll start with, we're going to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 is a very popular scripture that we share. There, I really want to talk about the throne of grace. The Bible mentions about the throne of grace. Hebrews chapter 4, we'll read verse 1, then we'll move quickly to the last verse. It says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you've given us things that we do not deserve. We thank you, Father, that you've held back the punishments that we deserve. You are such a gracious God. This morning, Lord, we approach your throne of grace. Teach us, O God, that we may be able to benefit, O God, and that your grace may not be in vain.
Yes.
Father, we come with great expectation. Our hearts are open. Our spiritual antennas are alert to get what Lord has prepared for us in this day, and we receive it by faith with meekness in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we want to come before the throne of grace. The Bible encourages us to come before the throne of grace with boldness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We have to come before the throne of grace with confidence. Let's go to verse 1 of the same book. I'll just summarize. Because this message was going to the Jewish nation after Jesus had come, introduced the gospel. Some of the Jews, most of them had been converted. But after some time, they were starting to doubt. So this message, the book of Hebrews, is trying to encourage them not to give up. Despite the situations that they may be going through, maybe they had reached a point where they thought Christianity was not working. Because most of them had been in Judaism. So they wanted to go back to Judaism. The first verse says, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it." It talks about entering God's rest. struggles.
Amen.
The Christian life promises that you will enter rest. The promised land, God said, is a land of milk and honey. He talks about good things, but how you get there, God doesn't reveal to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But it's a place of rest. So in this chapter, he's talking about encouraging people not to give up. So when he says, therefore let us come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in this time of need. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but this is my time of need.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you need to find mercy, obtain mercy and find grace in this time of need. So, the writer of Hebrews is encouraging you. It's another instruction, I would say so.
Yes.
That let us come boldly before the throne of grace. In other words, he's inviting you that come. Now he's talking about grace as a throne of grace. So where is this throne of grace? When we talk about a throne, we're talking about a kingdom. So we're talking about the authority, about a place of authority where things are dictated. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we are talking about now grace is has a throne. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So where is this throne? You know, at first when I read this, I said, where is this throne? Is this throne in heaven? Or is it on earth? Where exactly can we locate this throne? Hallelujah.
Amen.
This throne of grace is God's throne. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So where is God seated? Let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Maybe we'll read up to verse 5. We read this scripture last time, but I want us to go through so that we look at, because this talks about access to the grace.
Amen.
Access, when you have access, it means you have a way to get to your destination.
Yes.
So, verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, you have been declared not guilty. Now you are at peace. You are at rest with God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You have no issues with God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Tell your neighbor, you are at peace with God. Tell them God has no grudges with them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, because the devil always whispers always to you, to make you believe God is not happy with you. But today God is saying, everyone who is in this place, he's happy with you. You are at peace with God. Hallelujah. Because you, being justified, you were declared not guilty through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's move to the, okay. Through whom also, you see now where we're going.
Yes.
Through the same Jesus. Through whom also we have access by faith.
Amen.
Into this grace. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In which, you see, we are standing in the grace. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Hallelujah. So you're standing in the grace. Let's move on quickly. knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. So this idea of saying, why is it happening to me? Asking God. You know, I've learned in life, I never ask God. Why me? He knows better. He's your creator.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 4 says, and perseverance, character. And character, hope. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if you're going through a difficult time, God is developing your character.
Amen.
And then hope does not disappoint.
Amen.
No one has written a book and said, I hoped and it didn't work. No matter how long it takes, hope does not disappoint. You know why? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So where is the Holy Spirit? It's inside us. So the throne of grace is right inside of you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The throne of grace that you must approach is right inside of you. Because God made a decision. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Long ago, when Jesus asked him, please send the Holy Spirit, God said, yes. I like what Jesus said. He said, I'm going to the Father. Alright?
Mm-hmm.
So that where I will be, you will be also.
Yes.
So when he sent the Holy Spirit, actually God came. God lives inside of you. I heard this story. It was very interesting because, okay, some students were demonstrating in campus. So when the police came, they ran for their lives. Then Christians were asking, where were you running away? I said, you're carrying God and you're running away. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we're not conscious of what we are. We are God carriers. Still remember, you are a God carrier. You know, I'm kind of controversial because when I pray, my help does not come from the mountains. That's what testimony. Hallelujah. You have God inside of you. You know, we have to live the New Testament. We have to take advantage of the grace. That's what Paul is talking about.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You have God right inside of you. That's where the throne of grace is. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You look in the Old Testament as a background. I studied a lot about the tabernacle. This was God's dwelling place. Then there was the outer court. Then there was the holy place. Then there was the Holy of Holies. Where God planned to stay. There was a mercy seat right there. They kept their, what they called, Aaron's rod, which budded, you know. So, every year, a priest, a high priest, would go and enter the Holy of Holies. The others would go at the outer court and the holy place. But the high priest, only one high priest would go into the Holy of Holies to give the sacrifice. And I hear that when he went there, he used to carry a bell and he would be ringing to let the people know that he's still alive. To let the people know that God is favorable. Because sometimes when they went, they would die there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he would go with a bell and it would be ringing. Ding, ding, ding. Some people would say, okay, it's working. Then he comes out. He went there for atonement on behalf of the congregation. I'm taking you through the Old Testament because now that throne is inside of you. You don't need a high priest. That's why the book of Hebrews says he entered once and gave a sacrifice. Today, you are being encouraged. Let us come boldly. What was the high priest in the Old Testament going to look for? Mercy. Ask for forgiveness. So when you enter the throne of grace, the Bible says you obtain. When you go to school, you obtain a degree. Because you've studied, you've done your exams, if you pass, you obtain a degree. Not so. So, this one says, you obtain mercy and then find grace. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, mercy is already given to you, obtain it. Because you are a Christian, because you are born again, but now you need to find grace. What Jesus says is, seek and you shall find it. So you have to find grace. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hebrews, I think 10:10 talks about that. Let's go to Hebrews 10, verse 10. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So Jesus offered his sacrifice once and for all. Now we have been given. God actually came and dwells inside of us. The Holy Spirit is God. We came from where we were thinking the Holy Spirit is a dove. Hallelujah. Because there's this misunderstanding, and because we tried to symbolize it and we represent it as a white dove. The Holy Spirit is God Himself. I like the way to put it. God came to tabernacle in you. So you are, the Bible says you are the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So it's actually God Himself who dwells in you. Out of the Trinity, there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The only one who is in heaven and on earth is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Which means you are connected to the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's there. He came to help us. So you have already help in the Holy Spirit. Now, when the Bible talks about let us come boldly before the throne of grace, how do you come before the throne of grace? How do you access this grace? The main, because if you're coming before the throne of grace, it means you're coming before your Father.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You want to relate with the Father.
Yes.
So how do you relate with the Father? It is through prayer. So when we talk about coming boldly before the throne of grace, we're talking about your prayer. Because that's the way we fellowship with God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Prayer is your supply line of grace. Hallelujah. Prayer ways. Tell your neighbor, prayer ways.
Yes.
You know, because in prayer you develop your personal relationship with God.
Amen.
By that personal relationship with God, you have access unto the grace.
Yes.
And you have opened the supply line. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I like this thing. It's a Chichewa proverb which says, I like using it very much because I find sense in it, which says, Bongololo Satola Mafuta Bamba. Hallelujah. You know, when you see it, in English it's called what? Millipede. When you see it, it looks very beautiful. You wonder where it gets the oil. But you'll never see it putting on the oil. But you don't see where it gets it. Hallelujah. I liken that to prayer. Because what you do in secret is what people just see. But they don't know what you go through. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, it's like glory. When people see glory in you, they don't know what you go through.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So this morning I want to encourage you. Keep on praying.
Amen.
And come before the throne of grace with boldness. You should have confidence. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You should not come before the throne of grace as a disadvantaged person. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You remember the first sermon that we shared, we talked about that Canaanite woman. She was bold enough to answer Jesus when Jesus didn't want to talk to her. She forced him to respond. And when Jesus gave a negative answer and said, no, this you are dogs, you are not supposed to have this. She was bold enough to say, no, even the crabs, the dogs can eat.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I call that boldness.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
She was an outsider, but she was bold.
Amen.
You need to be bold before your Father. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you come before the throne of grace, you need to be bold. The Bible talks about the prayer of a righteous man.
Yes.
They use the word deliberately, righteous. Mm-hmm. We said, what is righteousness? Righteousness is right standing with God.
Amen.
So when you have a right standing with God, you speak to God with boldness.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it says the prayer of the righteous man availeth much.
Yes.
It has power.
Yeah.
It is effective. So it depends when you approach the throne of God how you see yourself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you feel you are lacking, then you are not approaching the throne of grace with boldness. You will not approach the throne of grace with boldness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But quickly, what makes the prayer of the righteous man effective? I looked at it quickly and I saw there are about four things which we need to be mindful. Number one is a prayer of faith. When you pray, faith. Prayer is not about just talking. Hallelujah. Prayer must come from faith. What do you believe? Then your voice in your faith in prayer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it's about faith. Number two, it's about your motives. Your motives must be pure when you pray. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I know the book of Psalms has some controversial prayers that David prayed. I don't know. I cannot. God gave them to us for a reason. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But you must have a pure motive.
Yes.
You must have a pure heart when you pray.
Yes.
When I read the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, this Matthew 5, they say which got me thinking. It says, blessed are the pure in heart.
Mm.
For they shall see God as wow.
Yes.
But you know, he talks about all those things, but this one will see God. Let me find out. What does a pure heart look like? So I did a quick research. And I went to Titus 1 verse 5. Can we go to Titus 1 verse 5? Verse 15, sorry. Titus 1 verse 15. I just want you to see what a pure heart is. Because these are things that I challenge myself with. Hallelujah. The Bible says, if you're pure, all things are
pure.
But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are
defiled.
I like giving an example. After we finish service, then you go outside and beat somebody. How does it change? Ah, yes, it was good, but the price still took long. You are defiled. Hallelujah. To the pure, all things are
pure.
Jesus.
There was a young couple. They got married. They were expecting a child. Then they said, they just built a house. They bought a house. Then they said, let's plant flowers. And the man said, let's plant roses. The woman said, no. They're thorns. They'll prick my children. Hallelujah. Two things are seen, two different. The man was saying, no. A rose flower is a very good flower. So to the pure, all things are
pure.
We must see good in everything. We must see good in every person. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I heard somebody taught me that you must learn to love everybody. You know what you do is you, when you look at somebody, you say, if God loves that person, who am I not to love him? Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's purity of heart.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
So when you pray, there must be faith. Your motives must be pure. And your lips must be the lips of the righteous. So what you speak, your lips, you know, one talking. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, righteousness is right standing with God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I gave you the proper definition. I said righteousness is standing before God without any sense of condemnation, inferiority, or guilt. Right?
Yes.
So, when you're praying, you must feel that confidence that I have a right standing with God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that what you're speaking resonates with who you are. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the fourth thing is righteous, the lips of the righteous. Then number four is when you pray, you must have an attitude of your will be done. When you're praying, in prayer we don't dictate to God per se what he should do to us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Allow God to work in your life. You remember when Jesus prayed, he said, oh, this is tough.
may this cup pass over me. But you know, he was clever enough to say, let your will be done. So you might be wanting something, but you are seeing it because you're, I don't want to use the word defiled again. Because your imagination is colored because of the events, right? So you're just so focused on getting that thing. But in your prayer, make sure that you allow the will of God to be done. Because otherwise you'll be praying amiss.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You remember the Lord's Prayer? He said, let your will be
done.
If Jesus could allow God's will to be done, we are following him. We should also allow God's will to be done in our lives. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
So we need certain habits that we need to develop. A habit is something you develop. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I always argue with people who are battling maybe to stop drinking beer or smoking. I said, you were not born to drink. You developed this habit.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You learned it. You can unlearn it.
Amen.
If you are determined in your heart.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we need to develop certain habits when we approach the throne of grace, when we pray. Because we are saying we approach the throne of grace through prayer.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because this approaching the throne of grace means you coming before God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So there are about five habits that we need to develop. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number one is when we approach the throne of God, the throne of grace rather, we must approach it with lowly reverence. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I call it lowly reverence. When you approach the throne of grace, it's like you are a servant approaching a king. With respect. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you must approach it with great respect for God. Number two, you know, it's when you approach it with lowly reverence, you are giving respect to your Father. Then number two, you must approach it with the devout joyfulness. You must be joyful. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Joy and happiness are two different things, eh? Joy works regardless. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You are joyful even if you're going through difficult times. Joy comes from the Lord. He plants it in you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
One reason you should be joyful is that, you know, we read Romans 5 where he said, we are justified by faith. You are declared not guilty. So, for you to be joyful, you must tell yourself that, oh, I'm approaching the throne of grace. I should have been in prison. Hallelujah. Because Jesus has set you free from bondage. You But now you are going before a king.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I think that's reason enough to be joyful. Praise God.
Amen.
Number three, you must approach the throne of grace with complete submission.
Mm.
When you come there, you must submit. That's why I'm saying you don't dictate to God.
Amen.
But you submit yourself to God. Then number four, I hope I'm not going too fast.
Okay.
Then number four, you know, we're talking about grace. And last week, the 2 weeks before we talked about grace, we said it's like Lake Malawi.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on what you decide to use to access the grace.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So when you approach the throne of grace, we're talking about grace. Tell your neighbor, we're talking about grace. We're talking about abundance. So when you approach the throne of grace, you must approach the throne of grace with enlarged expectation. Expect more. Expect big things. Not little things. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So approach the throne of grace with enlarged expectation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, the Bible, in the same book of Hebrews, talks about in chapter 12, it says there's a difference between Mount Sinai and Mount Zion. He says, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. He says, you have come to an innumerable company of angels. Which means you accessing the throne of grace is as good as the way angels are in heaven before God. You have the same standing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sense of God. Let's not belittle prayer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Prayer is not a small thing. We tend to belittle it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't want to stop you from praying those quick prayers. When you're late for work. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Although that is kind of belittling, eh? But prayer is an exalted thing. You must hold it in high esteem. Because you're talking to the living God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then I think after giving you all these habits, you must approach it with the confidence that it deserves, which I call unstaggering confidence. Hallelujah. Unstaggering confidence. Tell your neighbor, unstaggering confidence. If you see a drunk person, he staggers. Huh? If he's going here, he'll go this way. Then he'll go this way. So your confidence must never be like a drunken person. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It must be filled. We sang a very good song. Our eyes are on. Am I confusing? We sang one of your worship songs. You said, we fix our eyes on you. What was the song?
Jesus,
huh? Okay, at the center of it all, we must see Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So what it means is, whatever happens, at the center of it all, you must see Jesus. That's the kind of unstaggering confidence that you need. Hallelujah. The Bible talks about, you know, when you stagger, it means sometimes you don't believe, sometimes you believe. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible talks about Abraham.
Yes.
He says he staggered not at the promise of God. It was tough for Abraham. He was growing old. Sarah was barren. And God had promised him a child. He made some mistakes because he wanted to sort it out himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But don't stagger in your faith. Praise God. Now, what are the benefits of... because there must be some benefits if you approach the throne of grace. You know, I'm trying to share with you something which you can use. Amen?
Amen.
My desire and my prayer is that after this series of teachings, you should be able to take something which you can use and then make a difference in your life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
What I'm sharing with you is revelation.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Revelation helps you do certain things because revelation is about you not knowing what is there. So when the veil is taken out, now you know, now you can do.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So what are the benefits of approaching the throne of grace? I've singled out some few benefits. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Number one, because we're talking about grace. When you approach the throne of grace, where you obtain mercy and find grace, it means the thoughts that might be contained in your prayer, God will overlook them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God will overlook the thoughts that might be in your prayer. Because we're talking about the throne of grace. The throne of grace means it's not about judgment. It's about dispersing gifts, blessings. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, even if your prayer might not be very good, hallelujah. You can't do pochoka, peperanibe. Hallelujah. God will overlook because it's on the throne of grace. Hallelujah. Number two, your desires. The desires of the one pleading, the one praying, will be interpreted by God. That is not to my pena. Man is a ventrologia, Kuzakum Bugira Chijakisina land. Sinna pepere. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because God is looking at your heart. God is interested to give you what you want or what you need. Hallelujah. Not what you want, but what you need. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he will see what you need and will give you exactly what you need. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, we have said the throne of grace is inside you. You have the Holy Spirit. Do you know that the Holy Spirit came to you to help you? Even if you forget, He prays for you. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 talks about, let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 26. You know, Romans chapter 8 has a title which says, Life Through the Spirit. You know, those titles, you should take them seriously. Because it talks about the life that you have through the Spirit. As a Christian, you're supposed to have your life through the Spirit. So, in verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Bible says the Spirit helps us. Even if you forget, even if you don't know how to pray about it. But the Spirit is there to help you. Intercede means the Holy Spirit will pray on your behalf. Here we're talking about the intercession of the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about Jesus interceding for you. We're talking about this intercession happens in the throne of grace, which is inside of you. Hallelujah. So, apart from the Spirit taking over your prayer, so I would say there are two ways that the Holy Spirit can help you. When you pray in tongues, it's the Holy Spirit who is praying. Hallelujah. Amen. So, He is praying. The Bible says, He that speaketh in a known tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. So when you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit has taken over your prayer life. Now He's talking to God. But you are speaking an unknown tongue. But there's a voice that is coming through you. Hallelujah. In this scripture, we're talking about the Holy Spirit now interceding through groanings. See what I get my friend? Hallelujah. This is a prayer that is supposed to be offered before the throne of grace. Hallelujah. These scriptures are there for us to practice them. I don't know if I ask you, when did the Holy Spirit last help you? When did the Holy Spirit help you pray through groanings? You know, we tend to neglect these things. Hallelujah. But what is it saying? Sometimes we don't know how to pray. We don't know how we ought to pray to God. So the Holy Spirit is there to take over and pray on our behalf. Today I'll ask you at the end of the service to let the Holy Spirit pray through you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Through these groanings. I want to remind you, we're talking about the throne of grace. We're talking about kingdom. We belong to a kingdom, a heavenly kingdom.
That's why we have a throne. In the UK, a few months ago, there was a new king. The language we use is he ascended to the throne. It means on the throne there must be somebody sitting on the throne.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are talking about the throne of grace and it's inside of us. Who sits there? Grace. That's why it's called throne of grace. We live in this world, but we belong. We live with everyone else in this world, but we belong to a different kingdom. Hallelujah. We must focus on the things of our kingdom. Yesterday when I was coming from Seth, so there were people all over. So I asked this guy, I said, what is happening? Then this guy tells me, there's a show. Oh. When I got to the train station, I was trying to fuel. I said, I found traffic here. I'm wondering what's happening. So the fuel attendant actually told me, oh, see my room? Do you know why I don't know? I live in a different world. So she was telling me, there are artists from Zambia, from South Africa. They have come to perform. But I didn't know. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
But she was trying to say, Abamogan and Nelson would see. For me, it's okay because I live in a different world. I'm supposed to. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we live in two different worlds. If you see the kind of people who were there, I said, I wish these people were in church tomorrow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
But we live in two different worlds and we operate differently. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But maybe for us who are in the kingdom of God are not maximizing, are not optimizing, are not using the things that God has given us to the full. Hallelujah. And we're trying to live like the world. So this morning I want to encourage you to take your Christianity seriously. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to encourage you that the grace of God that is upon your life should not go in vain. Amen.
Amen.
You know, there's also this example. I'll use it. It's very interesting. This example uses a pigeon and a hen, I would say. If you chase a pigeon. A pigeon lands on the ground. It will feed on the ground. If you try to chase it, it will run. A hen will do the same thing. But the difference between the two is that if you keep chasing the hen or a goat, it will fly. But briefly, it will come down on you. But if you're chasing a pigeon, it will run. If it sees it's getting hot, it will fly. And you can't catch it. Hallelujah. So, as children of God, we are like a pigeon. But some of us are just behaving like hens.
We are not engaging the least here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's not behave like ordinary. Amen. We are extraordinary. We are not ordinary beings.
Yes.
And God has put us on earth for a purpose. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we need to engage this extra gear so that we fly. In our, you can't chase a pigeon so that you catch it. No. If you want to catch it, you catch it in its nest. Not so. Before it goes out. But for a hen or a cock, anytime you can tell somebody, chase this. They will chase it until they find it and catch it. Hallelujah. But for a hen, it has the ability to run like a hen. For the pigeon, it has the ability to run, but it has also the ability to fly. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, you have the ability to fly.
Amen.
Fly away from the troubles of this world.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, you remember last time when we talked about being strong in the grace, we talked that a soldier does not entangle himself in worldly affairs.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
So we're not supposed to live this ordinary life. Amen?
Amen.
Because we have been equipped to fly. Hallelujah. I see you flying. Tell your neighbor, I see you flying.
I see you flying.
Amen.
Amen.
So, we have this throne of grace. When there's a throne, there must be somebody sitting on the throne. Grace is sitting on this throne. That's why it's called the throne of grace. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you look at the good news, the gospel, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is about grace. The gospel is the gospel of grace. No wonder this grace is enthroned. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This grace is like personified and sitting on this throne for our benefit. God has come down. God has given us. You know, I take it that this throne replaces the old tabernacle. Because where was the old tabernacle? God wanted to. God has always desired to live with his people. So when he gave the tabernacle, it was on earth. Hallelujah. Now, maybe God saw that it's a bit complicated. It's too physical. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God has streamlined it. But this thing is a spiritual thing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, I'm trying to communicate to you that when we approach the throne of grace through prayer, it's spiritual.
Amen.
Our prayers should not be too physical. Our prayers should not be, you know, you can be a Christian and you can be carnal. That's what they say.
Yes.
Because your mind is about the things of the flesh.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we need to, when I'm talking about engaging the gear, hallelujah,
Amen.
There are Christians who are living as if they are not spiritual. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Most of the things that I'm trying to share with you are things that you are supposed to do during your private time. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Grace has been put on the throne because it conquered. It is by conquest. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What grace has done, grace deserves to be enthroned. Grace has absorbed or swallowed your penalty. It's right inside there. I'm trying to exalt grace today. But grace has power. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when we approach the throne of grace, we want to find power. We want to exercise the power that the kingdom of God has on the face of the earth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I hope you're getting blessed.
Amen.
I hope you're getting encouraged.
Yes.
Tell your neighbor, do these things. Put them to practice. I thank God, I'll tell you, I thank God that He's given me a gift. I call it a gift of ministering. A gift of ministering is when you share, people will do it. So you'll be the first people who will not do it. Mercy and where we find grace in this time of our need. Hallelujah. Praise God. So let's open our mouths. Let's speak to God. Let's.
May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.